on?
It's green.
Okay.
Yep, we got you. He'd rather do it than me. I can hear you.
During that time,
I agree.
Of the year.
I agree.
So I thought I'd just let you know.
Testing 1 2 3 4 4 3 2 1. Hello. Okay.
Some of you we have seen, but it's been many years. Got to see Calvin several weeks back as we were attending an event together, and he asked if I might be able to come and share a message with you. And I thought, what a joy to come back and be able to do that, as he and his wife have a chance to be refreshed and renewed this weekend as they got away. If you have a Bible, I would like for you to turn to Philippians, the third chapter. It's not going to be up on screen. I understood last week there were some technical issues, and I thought, boy, if I try and make PowerPoints and they have technical issues, we'll be in trouble. So you're going to have to trust what I'm reading or find in your Bible or a Bible app. I will be using the ESV version this morning, that sounds a little bit different maybe than your translation. I would like to say that I'm still growing in Jesus. I hope you are too. One of the things that I've found through the years is that it's hard to sometimes stay fresh. We get caught up in doing the same thing over and over, and we get in a habit or a pattern. And we forget that we still need to be growing or learning. A lot of times now, when I'll send somebody an email or a message, I will put at the bottom of that message, still learning and growing in Jesus, as a reminder to myself that that's what I need to be doing, is still learning and growing on a daily basis in Jesus. And wanting to take and do it in a healthy way. It's good to have goals. It's good to strive and to look past where we're at the moment, to think of things that will be helpful to us, to move us closer to Jesus. But in times of stress, it's often easy to lose a little bit of direction. And in the world that we live in right now, there's a lot of information that comes at us in many different directions. And sometimes we battle to comprehend that. Does that ever sound a little bit familiar to you, that you seem to be overloaded with information and not always sure how to handle it? I want to tell you a silly story, so hang with me, because attitude plays a lot in how we look at life. And it's important that we have a good attitude towards growing in Christ. But sometimes we take and let the little things take and slow us down or deter us from what we should really be doing. This story, you might have heard it before, but it was said that there was a woman who woke up one morning and she looked in the mirror and she had only 3 hairs left on her head. Well, she said, I think I'll braid my hair today. And so she did and had a wonderful day. The next day, she woke up, looked in the mirror, and saw that she only had 2 hairs on her head. She said, I think I'll part my hair down the middle today. And so she did, and had a grand day. The next day, she woke up and looked in the mirror and noticed that she only had 1 hair on her head. Well, she said, today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail. And so she did. And she had a fun day. The next day she woke up, looked in the mirror, and noticed that there was not a single hair on her head. Yay, she exclaimed. I don't have to fix my hair today. And I thought, wow, attitude definitely makes a difference. Someday I'm not going to have to worry about combing my hair. There is a spot that I can't see on the back side that is getting a little thin. And as it recedes on the front side, eventually they're going to meet, and I'm going to have to make a decision about what I'm going to do about it. Whether I just shave it all off, or take and try and put a wig on and curl up and wish that I had hair again. But it makes a difference in the attitude and how I look at life and what things I am looking and trying to do. Today, I want you to think a little bit about some goals and aspirations that Scripture talk about, that Paul wrote to the church, that we need to be trusting in Jesus and realize that it is not just a one-and-done deal, that we accept Christ, we've come into Him, we know Him as our Lord and Savior, and we say, hey, that's great. But it takes more than just sitting back and knowing that God loves us and cares for us. We need to take, in confusing times, remind ourselves that God has a plan, and it's still there, and He still wants to love us, and He still wants to help us through struggling times. And it's often important that we take and we understand some of that plan. What are we learning from the examples that have been set before us? I want you to take sort of a mystery journey with me today. And maybe you can do that with your eyes closed or open. But the idea of this is that we go back to the time that this letter was written to the church at Philippi. Now, you can close your eyes or not, but I want you to think about climbing into that time travel machine. And we go back to about 63 AD. And you think of some of the things that you might have already heard. Paul was one of the first to go outside of Jerusalem to share the good news of Jesus Christ. He had helped establish a gathering, a church, in an impressive town called Philippi. It was a colony with many loyalists to Rome. It was set aside as a province of Rome with all the rights, all the taxes, and all the privileges of Rome. And it was one of Paul's favorite churches. Later in this letter, he would say to them, "My joy and my crown," as he referred to them. He had helped to plant the church about 50 AD, and it started with a vision at night in which a man had called him to come over and help, as it's recorded in Acts 16:9. And there were both joys and trials in the times that he was there, and it was a place where the gospel got a foothold into what we now consider Europe. And there he taught and convinced a businesswoman by the name of Lydia to follow Jesus Christ. It was there that he saw the inside of a prison cell, which led to the conversion of a head jailer and his family. And it was there that there was an earthquake. And you think of all the things that might have happened and come together in one place. There were trials, there were joys. Then some years later, he writes this letter to them. And guess where he's writing from? A prison. You think attitude matters in our life, in our direction, and what we're doing? He writes a letter to them from that cell, and he sends it with a man by the name of Epaphroditus, a hometown man who had been deathly ill and now had been recovered from that illness. And Paul was anxious to get this letter to them, and they needed to be reminded of the goal of pushing on in their life towards Jesus Christ and looking heavenward as that time drew closer for them. They needed an encouragement, and they got it from one who understood that struggle and that confidence that might have slipped at times. Have you ever wondered, is it worth it? The ups and downs and the struggles. You know, confidence is good, but it's got to be founded upon the right things in life. We need to do more than just survive. We need to remember our goal. We need to remember the prize that we are looking towards. How many of you ever entered a contest to try and win a prize? You ever put one of those entries in? You've gone through a home show, you've gone someplace, and it says, fill out this entry. You have a chance to win. How many of you have ever won something? Oh, a few of you. Now, were they great prizes? Were they good prizes? Were they worth the time to fill out the entry blank? I can think about a few contests I've entered over my lifetime, and some I've won that I'm going, that really wasn't bad. And other times you say, well, what have I won? And you don't even remember entering that contest. But the prize that we look forward to is that that was spoken of in Scripture, and that is being with Jesus in heaven, our eternal home. And the true prize is being wrapped up in Jesus in His love, and finding heaven is even better than we can imagine. My wife and I have been trying to stay healthy, and boy, I don't know, it has been a battle. I don't know about some of you who have gone through some of those health issues or ups and downs, and you're trying to stay healthy and trying to do what is right and hopefully get the exercise you need. How many of you exercise? Oh. Some of you go, well, I'd like to exercise, but it's a little bit of work. It made me think back to when years ago we decided to get a little bit better shape. And my wife decided she wanted to walk a half marathon. And I'm thinking, that's a long ways to walk. But she took it on and went out and exercised and put the effort in to do it. And she came and went up Salem area and went out on a half marathon. It was a hot day. It was a day when the sunshine was beating down and there was very little shade on this course that she would walk on. Well, she got quite a ways into it, and the heat overtook her, and she had to be taken to a medical tent. And it's like, oh, you know, you'd hope to get there. You'd hope to go there and do this. But yet after that, she determined that she wanted to do this, and it would be good. So she incorporated and drew me into it. And so we walked together, and we went, and we walked longer distances, and we put that effort and time in. And we then came to Eugene to walk in a half marathon. And it's like, can we do it? Can we get there? And we thought about it, and we thought, okay, we're going to do it. We came with our hats, our sunscreen, our bottled water, and determined to make it all the way. And we got those wonderful little numbers they put on you so that they can keep track if you actually did it, or you walked it, or if you actually finished it. And we started off in the crowd, and we soon found that we were spread out, and a lot of people had left us, and we're sort of wondering, will we make it? Will we make that goal to the end? Will we get there? And the pavement felt harder and harder, and it seemed hotter and hotter, and there was less and less people around us as we were going. And we would start thinking, are we going to get there? Are we going to make it? And we walked through some residential neighborhoods, and as we did, there were some long, lonely stretches. But every once in a while, there were some people that had signs out that said, you can do it. What a difference that made when we saw some of those signs and people encouraging us to keep going. And as we got close to the finish line, we could see it, and it energized us a little bit more, and we walked a little bit faster. And as we got to see the finish line right in front of us, we actually jogged, which I don't do. And we came across there, and it was like, wow, we did it. We made it. How many of you heard that commercial on TV? It says, a body in motion stays in motion. Some of you have heard that. I want you to think with me as we look at Paul's words to the church at Philippi in the third chapter of that motion that we need to be in with Jesus Christ, that we need to be moving forward in. In Philippians chapter 3, as Paul would continue his thoughts to this church that he loves so much, in verse 12 it picks up and it says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, But I press on to make it my own, not because Christ Jesus has made me his own, brothers, but I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We still need to press on. It sounds like exercise. It sounds like discipline. But it is something that we need to think about, and we need to keep pressing forward. We need to sometimes put things in the past and keep moving ahead. As Paul was saying, I forget some of those things and I press ahead. There's a children's movie that was out a number of years ago. It was called Frozen. How many of you ever watched that movie? A few of you. It was a children's movie and it was animated and it had this idea in it that this one had some powers and some things that were going on and things weren't going her way. And the only thing that most parents ever heard from this song was the words over and over and over again that said what? Let it go. And I thought, wow, what powerful words, you know. And as the ones in this song would say, part of it says, my soul is spiraling in frozen fractals all around, and one thought crystallizes in an icy blast. I am never going back. The past is the past. Let it go. And I think, wow, how important is that, that we let some things go and we keep moving in the direction that God has called us to, that we press on, that we go forward. There were people in the Old Testament that could see that things were moving with God, and yet they had not seen yet Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And there is a list of heroes in the book of Hebrews that talked about all of these ones by faith lived and did this and walked with God. But in Hebrews 11, 39 and 40, it says, all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us they should not be made perfect. And that was Jesus Christ. The story is about following and trusting God, that we too have a goal as Jesus, as our Savior and our hope. And we don't always understand everything that's going on around in the world. And sometimes it would be just as easy to sit and vegetate, to think, man, I'm not sure quite what's going on. I'm not sure I'm ready for this. Sometimes we need to understand that we are not finished. God is still working on us and caring for us and walking with us through difficult times. I remember years ago, downtown Eugene, where I grew up here in Santa Clara area, I would work at a Hallmark gift card store downtown. And I'm going, it's no longer there. It's long gone. But we sold interesting little novelties. And one of them that always struck me was this little statue that looked like it was half carved. It looked like somebody coming out of a piece of rock. And on it, it said, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. We are not finished. We have not crossed the finish line, and our goal is in front of us. We might be a little confused, but who's not at times in the world that we live in? Paul is talking to a people that were living under Roman authority and rule. They weren't always pleased with what was going on around them. But he says to these people, you need to keep walking and you need to keep thinking. In verses 15 of Philippians chapter 3, he said, let those of us who are mature think in this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. What have we already attained? What do we already know in Jesus Christ? As we gather in a place like this on a Sunday morning, there is much that we have learned and attained. You think about us, we come together, we sing, we pray, we share God's blessings, we give financially, we share in communion and study from God's Word, His Holy Word. And we've gathered to find hope and assurance that we need in the world that we live in. We trust in a God who loves us much deeper than we can ever imagine. Think about the message that was shared with the world as Jesus was walking upon it. Jesus was sharing the hope that God had promised long ago. And he shared it with a man by the name of Nicodemus, who was a religious leader when he was walking on the earth. I want to read it from the ESV translation, a little different maybe than what you have maybe grown up with, but the words and the heart of the message are there from John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I need that reminder that God loves us, that God loves all races and nations in this world, and he came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. Let me say that again. He came to do for us what we could not do for ourselves. I need to remember and live that on a daily basis. It should show in my life. It should show in your lives as we have decided to follow Jesus. How many of you remember playing the game Follow the Leader as a kid? Interesting little game, wasn't it? Somebody got chosen as a leader, and then everybody else was supposed to do what? Just what they did. Boy, it was either a good game or it was a bad game, because you ended up doing silly things that could almost be embarrassing because it depended on what the person in front of you was doing. We have to be careful who we try and follow in this world that we live in. Do you always do what the leaders say? Do you always do what happens to be popular? Do you do what the people around you are doing? Nowadays, we live in a world where they have what are called influencers. How many of you have heard that term? Online, in the media and things, that people that want to influence others and have followers. But we need to be careful in who we follow. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17 in the text we're looking at, it says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul was writing to the church. If you're going to press forward, do you need to make sure that you are following the right people? Paul says, follow him as he has followed Christ. And then he says, and others who walk according to the example you have in us. Well, he was also talking about Timothy, who helped in this letter, Epaphroditus, who carried this letter back to them that they loved and knew. That you make sure that you choose a good model to follow. Patterns, models, instructions are important. Our oldest daughter, when she was still, I think it was in high school, wanted to fix us a meal. She decided that it was time for her to cook a family meal. And she took and pulled out a cookbook, and she opened it up, and she looked at the recipe, and she's going, well, she was going to make some vegetables, she was going to make some potatoes, and she was going to make meatloaf. How many of you love meatloaf? Man, if you get a good one, it's really good. Well, she fixed this meatloaf. We could smell it in the house. We came to the dinner table, we sat down, we put some of the food on our plate, and we took our fork out and we went to take a bite of the meatloaf, and you put it up in your mouth and you start, and it's like, I can't chew it, I can't quite swallow it, I think I need a glass of milk or water. And we just didn't know quite what to do. Well, we figured out that that meatloaf wasn't edible. So we had vegetables and we had the potatoes. And then we asked her the question, well, did you follow the recipe? She said, yes, I found it in the cookbook. And I was like, well, what did the recipe say? And she listed off all of these different things until she came to the part that says onions. And it said, you know, like a quarter cup of chopped onions. We didn't have an onion in the house. So she found onion salt. You want to know how much she put in? Does it make a difference if you follow the recipe? It certainly does. Does it make a difference if you follow Christ and His teachings? Or if you decide some of the things of the world might substitute for it? Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, he says, for many of you whom I have often told you and now tell you, even in tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their bellies. Their glory is in their shame. With minds set on earthly things, substitutes, something else that replaces Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought how the world sometimes thinks? I put in here and they print it off and it's in miniature print. So if you have good glasses, you can look at the little sheets that were handed out. But this might give you an idea of what the world is thinking. The author, I don't know. I don't think I could ever find who originally wrote it. But it's called reverse thinking. It's like the thinking of the world. And it reads this way, if you can follow it. It says, I will live my life according to these beliefs. And this is as the world looks at it. God does not exist. It's just foolishness to think that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, is a comforting thought. However, it is only wishful thinking. People can do whatever they want without eternal consequences. The idea that I'm deserving of hell because of sin is a lie meant to make me slave to those in power. The more you have, the happier you will be. Our existence has no grand meaning or purpose in a world with no God. There is freedom to be who I want to be, but with God, life is an endless circle of guilt and shame. Without God, everything is fine. It's ridiculous to think I am lost and in need of saving. That's pretty depressing, isn't it? But the writer says, but that is before Christ opened my eyes, changed my heart, and reversed my thinking. Now keep looking at this, but follow along as I read from the bottom. I am lost and in need of saving. It is ridiculous to think everything is fine without God. Life is an endless circle of guilt and shame. But with God, there is freedom to be whom I want to be. In a world with no God, our existence has no grand meaning or purpose. The more you have, the happier you will be, is a lie meant to make me a slave to those in power. Because of sin, I am deserving of hell. The idea that people can do whatever they want without eternal consequences is only wishful thinking. It is comforting, though, however, that an all-powerful God brings purpose to the pain and suffering in the world, that there is an all-knowing God with a cosmic plan. It is just foolish to think that God does not exist. I will live my life according to these beliefs. Upside down, reverse thinking. It depends on Jesus Christ, isn't it? There is a big three-letter word in this text in verse 20 of Philippians chapter 3. But our citizenship is in heaven. And it is And from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him to even subject all things to Himself. We look forward to heaven. We look forward to that hope that God gives to us. This world is not our final home. Some of you have real ID in your pocket. Do you know what that is? Some of you go, what? How many of you have been to the DMV in the last year or so? They were trying to get what we call real ID that will help you get through transportation in a cleaner way. And so your old driver's license wouldn't be enough. It had to be encoded. It had to be security improved to prove that you were who you are. It shows that you are a citizen of Eugene, Oregon, if you live in this area, that you are that person that can safely be recognized by this identification. Do people see you as someone who is a kingdom dweller? One who looks and says, my home is not in this world. It is with Jesus Christ, and I am identified with Him. That's my real identification, that this world is not our final home, that we are just passing through. I don't know about you, but I need this reminder. Don't give up. Don't give in. To press on, it is worth it to stand up for the message of Jesus Christ, that we are citizens of heaven, a message that still needs to be shared in this world that we live in. Paul's love for these fellow Christ followers is deep and strong. And he says, hang in there. He finishes this section in chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm. We have a message of hope, a message of encouragement that the world needs to hear. In all the confusion that's going on around us, that God loves us and cares for us. Would you join with me in a moment of prayer? Lord, I'm thankful that you love us, that you care for us, that you have covered us by your Son, Jesus Christ, in providing the sacrifice that only He could do and provide for us. Father, thank you for your love and your care. Help us as we take steps each day to draw closer to you and your word. And we do that because of your Son. And in His name we pray. Amen.